Can we commence our meeting this evening by singing hymn number 152? Number 152, Come to the Saviour, come to the Saviour, who speaks from the glory above with tender voice and true. He is calling now to you to partake of his own precious love. Can we stand, please, and sing number 152? Shall we speak to God in prayer? Our Father, we come before Thee in the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank Thee again for all of Thy goodness to us another day, for all of the practical, for the temporal blessings, for all of the good things that we enjoyed. We thank Thee that it all comes from Thyself. And our Father, too, we thank Thee for the spiritual blessings that are ours. And again, we thank Thee for Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have just been singing about him, and our Father, we'll think about him in just a few minutes' time again. We thank Thee, our Father, for what he means to those of us who are saved. We thank Thee, our Father, that he did leave the glory. He did leave heaven behind. He came into this world, and our Father, he lived in this world just as we live in this world. And our Father, we thank Thee for one who became subject to everything that we have become subject to in this world. But we thank Thee for one who was completely different than us. And we thank Thee, our Father, for one who was without sin. And so, our Father, we praise Thee that his reason why he came into this world, our Father, the fact that he was without sin, we thank Thee that he was able to go to the cross at Calvary and pay the price of sin, to offer himself as that one sacrifice for sin, to provide this wonderful salvation that we have just been singing about. And so, our Father, we thank Thee for those of us who appreciate him as our Saviour, and our sins are forgiven, and we have peace with Thyself, and we have hope not only in time, but hope for all eternity. And our Father, we thank Thee for what we have been brought into. And yet, our Father, we thank Thee that each boy and girl and each older person in this hall this evening can be brought into these blessings as well. We thank Thee, our Father, that Thou dost so love the world, that Thou dost send Thy Son. We thank Thee, our Father, that whosoever believeth in him, we thank Thee that salvation can be theirs this evening. And so we pray as we spend this time together, as we think about these eternal things, these spiritual things, our Father, that they might help us to lose sight of the things of time and the things of tomorrow, the things even of later on this evening, that we might think about these things of eternity, that each one might consider themselves in light of eternity, each one might consider themselves in light of standing before Thee, each one may consider their sin. And we pray, our Father, tonight, even as we spend this time together, that someone may turn to Thy Son for salvation. We thank Thee this is possible, We thank Thee that Thou art willing and able to save, and so we look to Thee for salvation even this evening. We ask for help as we open and read Thy Word. Bless each one of us here tonight. Remember those not in the hall, those listening, those watching online. We ask, our Father, for a blessing on each one of them as well. And so we bring all of these things before Thee. As we do so, we bring them in the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Glad to see you all, make you all welcome tonight to the meeting, and those who are with us online, we thank you for being with us tonight and pray that the Lord might bless each one of you. And we're glad to have our dear brother Jonathan Bruce from Grohl tonight, make him very welcome, and pray that the Lord might help him as he would bring the message of salvation to each one. And just give a few announcements for this coming week. Tomorrow evening, the Bible Explorers at 7 o'clock, and the speaker is T.J. McCann. On Thursday, we have the Bible study and the prayer meeting at 7:45, and the passage that is being considered on Thursday is Colossians chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. Then next Lord's Day at 11, a breaking of bread, the Sunday school and Bible class at 3, and the prayer meeting at 6:30. The gospel meeting next Lord's Day at 7 p.m., we'll have our own brother Brian Wilkinson to come and speak to us. So we make you very welcome to come to these meetings, but they're all announced to, according to the will of the Lord. So we just hand over to Jonathan.
Thank you again, everyone, for coming along this evening, and thank you for the invitation to be here. Now, over the course of a week or over the course of life, people ask me to do a lot of things and help out, and I try to be as helpful as I can, but nobody ever asks me to start singing. So our brother hasn't known that about me. I could start it and I would try to be helpful, but it wouldn't do you any good at all. That is one thing that I cannot do. Sing. I can make a noise to myself and I can sing in the shower, sing in the car, but you don't ask me to start the singing. But the singing was good tonight, and thank you for everybody trying there. But now I want to, in the few minutes that we have this evening, I want to give you a bit of wisdom. I want to talk to you about something that, if you can understand what I'm saying tonight, and if you can appreciate what I'm saying tonight, I mean, this, you would be very wise to follow this instruction. Now, it's not my instruction. It's not from me, okay? Some things I do in life, maybe some people think that maybe some things I am wise. Maybe some people think that, well, that wasn't very wise. But I want to give you an instruction tonight, and I want to give you a little bit of wisdom tonight from the wisest man that ever lived in this world, apart from the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was the wisest person that ever was in this world at any time. But the next wisest man, and he's a sort of a, I don't know, maybe you have heroes. Maybe there's people that you look up to and you think, well, you know, they're just brilliant, they're great. Whatever they do, and nowadays you sit and you watch your phone and you've never actually seen them, you've never actually met them in real life, but you see them on your phone or you see them on social media, and nearly if they told you to do something, you would just do it because you think they're great. But actually, this is one of my heroes. And actually, he is so wise. And he did speak with so much wisdom that God has actually recorded what he has said and put it in the Word of God. That in 2024, in Newton Breda Gospel Hall, that we might read it. And we might think about it. And it might make a change in our life. Now, I'm not going to speak, well, I'm going to try my best not to speak for a long time tonight. And this isn't going to be, I'm going to try my best to make sure it's not very complicated. And I'm going to try my best to make sure it's not boring. And I'm going to try my best to speak about something that maybe every single boy and every single girl in the meeting tonight, and those of you who are older as well, that you can relate to. Because I want to talk about a wee thing that maybe you don't notice very much. And when you do notice on it, do notice about it, you do see it, they could just stand on it and walk on. What's very important. Now tonight, before we went to the prayer meeting, it wasn't a wee thing, it was a big thing at the bottom of those stairs. And somebody, without any panic, without any screaming, like some of you girls do, disposed of it. But this is a very, very small thing. And when you see one, you usually see two, and you usually see three, and you usually see four, and there's usually a whole lot of them. And generally speaking, whenever I see them, they seem to be in a line, and they seem to be very, very busy. An ant. Has everybody here seen, I hope nobody here has been bitten by an ant? Sometimes you get bit by them, and you not only see them, but you feel them, and you remember them for quite a wee while. Now, I don't think there's any ants here in Newton Breda tonight. There's no wee creatures here. But in some other parts of the world tonight, in some hotter parts, and maybe some dusty parts, and maybe in some halls where people are having a gossip meeting as well, there is ants. And in some parts of the world, it's very, very obvious, and people know all about them. But I hope everyone here in the meeting, maybe you've seen an ant. And generally, you see them in the summertime. And generally, you see them in an area, maybe underneath. You ever go out and lift anything in the garden? A piece of stick? Or a piece of rubbish? Or maybe a stone? And underneath it, there's all these wee creatures. You ever go to the beach, and it's sandy? It's dry, and there's all these little creatures, and they're on their own, all these ants. Well, you know, I want you to learn a lesson this evening. You say, an ant's only, we just stand on an ant. I just love to just sit and just kill them one after another. Maybe that's what you do. But they're actually a very intelligent little thing. A very wise little thing. And King Solomon spoke about them. And God has put it in the Word of God that I can learn from them, and you can learn from them as well. So let's read just a few verses from the Word of God in Proverbs in chapter 6, and then I want each one of us to learn just a couple of simple lessons tonight from this very small animal. Proverbs in chapter 6, and in verse 6, it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, or another translation would be a lazy person, or a sleepy person, or a careless person. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travelleth, and thy want as an armed man. Now, that's all I want to read from the Word of God. But when we think of these verses, Solomon is saying, go to the ant, thou sluggard, a lazy person or a careless person, a very sleepy person, a person that really, I can't be bothered type of a person. And he says, you think about the ant. Because he says at the end, if you don't, if you live life and you're entirely careless, you're sleepy, you don't really care about what happens after that. He says in verse 11, so shall thy poverty, so shall the bad time, the hard time, the terrible time, the disaster, so will it come like a robber, one that traveleth or an armed man disaster could come whenever you're sleeping, whenever you're not caring, whenever you're not thinking. And I hope no one here finds themselves in a disastrous or a tragic position like that. So let's think just for a few moments about this ant. Because again, the wisest man that was here on earth, apart from the Lord Jesus, he watched it, he seen them, he thought about them, and he wrote about them, and God has it in his word for us here today. But here we've got this wee ant. Now, I'm suggesting to you the biggest thing in an ant's life is winter. And we're just about to go into winter. We've had our half term, we've had our break. Maybe some of you have been away somewhere and done nice things over the half term break. And maybe if you can think back to other years, at this time of the year, it would, as we say, it would skin you. It would be freezing cold. It is so wet and miserable and all the rest. And this year is completely different because this year is nice and warm. And this year there hasn't been as much rain. And this year has been a lot more pleasant and all the rest of it. But we do know that winter is going to come. Because winter comes every year. And it's not a surprise to us in Newtonbury that winter's going to come because not only do the wise, intelligent people tell us in the weather forecast that winter's going to come, but you know that your teachers at school have taught you that after summer comes autumn and after autumn comes winter. And the other thing as well, didn't always used to be summer, autumn and winter. And spring and summer and autumn and winter and round and round. Didn't always used to be that, but one day, a long number of years ago, there was a flood. And the entire world changed. And after the flood, when the entire world was covered in water, and after the flood, when the entire world changed, things were different. But God decided to make summer and autumn and winter. And God and spring, and God decided not only to make them, but God made a promise away back in Genesis 6, that there always would be those things, and they wouldn't fail. And sometimes today people get excited, and people talk about global warming, and people talk about changes, and people talk about all the seasons going into one, and the seasons all been upset, and all the rest of it, and then the Word of God says that there's going to be seasons, and there's always going to be seasons, and they're never going to fail. And I know that, because I can read it in the Word of God. But the ant, the very, very small animal, that wee creature that you could likely, I don't know how many of them you could fit on your fingernail, maybe half a dozen, maybe even 10 on your fingernail. So small. But they know that the winter's going to come. And that is a big, big, big thing in the ant's life. That's what the ant looks towards. That's what the ant thinks about. That's what the ant knows is coming. That's what the ant needs to prepare for. Why? Because you see all the green grass and all the leaves and all the berries and all the things on the plants in the summertime that the ant eats. In the winter, there is none. And the ant needs to prepare for the winter coming. The ant needs to get food for the winter coming. Because you don't have to be very smart to know that if the winter comes and the ant doesn't have any food, the ant will die. So there's a big, big day coming. There's a danger for this small animal that something is coming down the line. There is a day coming that the summer's going to be finished. And the autumn is going to end, and there's going to be winter, and if there's no food, that ant will die. And that ant needs to prepare. Now, isn't it good, Newtonbreda, that you've got a Tesco extra, and you don't really need to worry about the summer and the autumn and the winter for food? But you see, every single boy and girl in this hall tonight, and every single older person in this hall tonight, we have a much bigger thing coming than the winter. We have something even greater that we need to prepare for than the winter. Because I'm not going to be here forever. And you're not going to be here forever. And some of you in the meeting, you maybe remember people who you used to know, maybe in your family, and they're not here any longer. They're gone. Because people live for a while, and then they die. But the Bible tells us that when you die, it's not the end. When I die, I'm moving to another place. When you die, you're moving to another place. When your parents and your friends and all the people that you know that goes to school with you, that lives in your street, when they die, they're going to another place. And when the aunt prepares for the winter, as a boy of 11, I prepared for going to the other place. Your Bible makes it quite clear. My Bible makes it quite clear that there only is two places. One of them's heaven, and one of them's hell. Just two. And you can't decide after you die which one you're going to. And you can't make a change after you die which one you're going to go to. The Bible talks about a great gulf fixed. It talks about the division between the two, that you can't pass from one to the other and vice versa. And the aunt, Solomon says, in the summertime, prepares for the winter coming. And I think it would be very wise for each of us to learn that lesson, that we need to prepare for the big event in our life when we pass out of life into death, when we leave this world and go to an even bigger world, a world that is called eternity, that never, 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 never ends. Because you're going there, and I'm going there. And every single person in this hall is going there. And we need to prepare to go there. So here's the aunt. Why did she prepare? Because the food's going to be finished when the summer ends. So she needs preparation. She needs to be prepared for the winter. Why do you need to prepare? Why do I need to prepare in life? Because there is a day coming. There is a time coming. I don't know, and you don't know. God alone knows. But there comes a time in each person's life when they leave this world and go into the next. And you need to prepare for it. And I need to prepare for it. Here's the problem. If the aunt doesn't prepare, if the aunt doesn't get the food, the aunt dies. Now, when it comes to you and me, when it comes to every single person in this hall tonight, if we don't prepare in life for the next big world, if we don't prepare, find ourselves in hell. If we don't prepare, we'll never be in heaven. Because you see, when I was a young boy, I always wanted to be in heaven. Because heaven is where God is. And heaven is where all the angels dwell. And heaven is the place that the gate into it is one massive pearl. Heaven is the place where the walls of it are laid on foundations of all the gemstones and the precious stones that you can imagine. Heaven is the place where the streets are paved with gold. Heaven is the place where there is absolutely no sorrow. Heaven is the place where there's no pain. Heaven is the place where there is no crying. Heaven is the place where there is no night. Heaven is the place where there is no sin. where there is nothing that is bad, that there is nothing that is wrong. Heaven is the place where God is. And God is absolutely pure, absolutely perfect, absolutely holy. I always wanted to be there. And then I realized something when I was young, and I hope each one of you in the meeting understand this as well. I was a sinner. I was born a sinner. I sinned every day. And because I was a sinner, and because I sinned, I couldn't just expect to be in heaven. Because there is no sin in heaven. And I understood as a small boy that when I live life, and when my life is over, I would be in hell. Unless I made some preparation. Unless there was a change. Unless my sins were forgiven. Unless I was made right and made ready for heaven. And you see, the ant knows the winter's coming and the ant has to prepare. I'm going to ask you a question. Does every single person in this hall, do you know, can you accept that when life finishes here on earth, that you're moving into eternity? You're moving into a big world of two places. Does every single person in this meeting tonight understand that you need to prepare for that? That you need to be ready for that? See, the ant doesn't have a teacher. Doesn't have any overseer or guide or ruler. You don't go to ant school, or the ants don't go to ant school, and they don't go to get educated in ant life and all the rest of this. They're wise and they know. But you've come along to Newton Breda Gospel Hall many times, and you've heard the Word of God open, and you've heard the Scriptures read, and you know about your sin, and you know about heaven, and you know about hell, and you know about eternity, and you know that you will live forever. You've had people to teach you. You've had people to tell you. Are you prepared? Is every single person in this hall tonight prepared? There is nobody in this hall tonight who's too young to be prepared. My daughter was 5 when she prepared. My wife was 5 when she prepared. I have another son and he was about 7 when he prepared. I was 11 when I prepared. I have a daughter and she's coming 19 and she's not prepared. Not everybody is prepared. I wonder, is there somebody in this meeting tonight and you're not prepared? How can you prepare? How could the ant prepare? The ant couldn't go and plant a load of vegetables. And I know I'm being ridiculous here in my suggestions, but the ant couldn't go and buy a hedge or anything like that. The food is already there. God provided the food for the ant. God always provides the food for the ant. God has said in his word that he feeds the birds. He clothes the lilies, the plants. God provides all of these things. But how could I prepare? How could you prepare? Well, you see, this is the brilliant news of the gospel, because God has provided. God provides food for the ant. But God has provided salvation for every single person in this meeting. You know, God gives the summers. He said in Genesis 6, I've already mentioned it, and he promised there always will be the summer. God provided that. But God provided much more than just a summer. God has provided for each one of us his son. The Bible, you likely know it, maybe everybody knows this verse, but the Bible talks about, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves the ants. He provides for them. God loves every single person in this meeting. And God has provided for every single person in this meeting. Do you remember when I said a wee while ago, but my sin, I understood. My sin was going to keep, I could never be in heaven with my sin. And you know what else I learned as a boy at going to Sunday school and going to meetings like this? I learned that I couldn't actually do anything myself about my sin. Because no matter how good I tried to be, and no matter how perfect I tried to be, I wasn't the first person to try that. A lot of people have tried that. Way back over the last 6,000 years, since man was about, people have been continually trying to be good and trying to be better and trying to turn over a new leaf and trying to be perfect. And you know what the Bible says? Everything that we do that is right, we think is right, our righteousness, in the eyes of God, it is just like a filthy, dirty rag. Because even my very, very best is still very, very, very far short of God's standard. You know, every time you actually have a foolish thought, maybe some of you aren't like me, but I have quite a few foolish thoughts on a day. But every time you have a foolish thought, that's even sin. And God's standard is absolutely perfect. Perfection. 100%. And I could never come near that. And the Bible also tells us that we're saved through grace. And it's not something we can do ourselves. Because, do you see, if I was going to heaven tonight because of what I have done myself, I would be boasting. And in fact, this meeting would have to go on a lot longer because I would have so much more to tell you. But I likely wouldn't have been invited here because the men that come here, they would be here tonight boasting themselves. And if everybody got to heaven about how good they were and everything they've done themselves, we would just be boasting all the time and we would just be, how great are we? But the aunt didn't prepare by something she'd done herself. It was what God had provided for her. I'm not going to heaven because of something I've done myself, but it is what God has provided for me. And as God sends the summer, God also sent his son. And the Lord Jesus Christ was completely different from me. Yes, he was here on earth. Yes, he ate and he drank and he slept and he was tired and he talked to people, enjoyed the company of people, helped people, traveled. He was involved. He went to weddings. Went to funerals, went to religious ceremonies, he was in the towns, he was in the villages, he also was on the boat, he also was on a donkey. He experienced a lot of things the same as we do. But there's one huge difference. He was absolutely sinless. And any time he was caught in a situation, or people thought they caught him in a situation, and they tried to manipulate a situation to try and get him to say something wrong, he never did. Any time he found himself in a situation where it was very difficult and he might have thought the wrong thing or reacted, he never did. He was absolutely perfect. He had, and whilst he was here on earth, when he was here, he was the Son of God, but he still thought the same way as God. He still behaved the same way as God. He still taught the same as God. Do you know why? He was the Son of God, but he was God. He was absolutely perfect. And do you know what happened when he was 33? After the Roman soldiers thought, and he was so good that it made them very, very cross. Because every time he constantly done good things, it just showed how bad they were. And they didn't like him, and they didn't want him. And not only the Roman soldiers, but all of the religious people. And not only the religious people, but all of his friends and his neighbors in the place that he grew up. And everybody rejected him. And they sent him to the cross at Calvary. They wanted him gone. They wanted him finished. They wanted him done away with completely. This man here, we don't want him because he's too good and he shows us up for what we are. Get rid of him. But God had another plan. And when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross at Calvary, after the Roman soldiers had done their worst, and after man had finished doing what man done that day, and it was awful things, God, who sends the summer, God, who feeds the ant, God, in whom every single one of us are going to meet someday, God changed the middle of the day into the middle of the night. It was absolutely dark. And in 3 long hours on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for sin. He paid the price of sin. He completed the work in relation to sin. But here's a question I want to ask you. On 3 hours on the cross at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for sin. Whose sin was it? You ever thought about that before? Whose sin did the Lord Jesus Christ suffer for? He didn't have any himself. You see, the good news of the gospel is that the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven into this world to go to the cross at Calvary to suffer for the sin of the world. As a boy of 11, one night sitting at home on the edge of a sofa, knowing that I wasn't prepared, knowing that I wasn't ready, knowing that I would be in hell because of my sin I could never be in heaven, thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, thinking about the fact that he went to the cross, thinking about the fact that he suffered for sin, understanding the fact that he didn't have any sin of his own, I accepted that he suffered in my stead. He suffered instead of me. He paid the price that I could never have paid. He finished a work that I could never have done. He provided salvation, and in a moment when I accepted that, I just believed that, just trusted what had happened, I was saved. And just sitting there on the edge of the sofa, in a moment, I was prepared for heaven. Now, are you prepared? Are you ready? Why do we have to prepare? Because there is danger coming. How do we prepare? Not through anything we can do ourselves. God has already provided. God has already made it possible. All we have to do is just accept what he has already offered to us. God wants you to be saved tonight. God wants you to have your sins forgiven tonight. God wants you to be ready for heaven tonight. Do you know, as I stand here, I am 100% sure that I am going to heaven. I am 100% sure that I will be in heaven for eternity. And God wants you to have that confidence as well. Is everyone here prepared? Is everyone here ready? Why should we prepare? How should we prepare? When? And I'm finished with this. The wisest man was here, King Solomon. He said, you know, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travelleth, and thy want as an armed man. You know, people in life do become careless about things. And do become very complacent and as if, well, you know, it maybe matters a bit, but someday, sometime we'll sort it all out. I have to admit, it's like me when I had an assignment at school. And sometimes it's like me whenever I have to answer emails for work. And maybe we put it off and put it off. And actually it was like me when I was a young boy, because for a long number of years I thought about these things but kept putting it off. You know, there's people in life. And there maybe has been people that have come to Newton Breda Gospel Hall. And they knew they needed to prepare. And they knew that God had made a provision through his Son. And they understood that if they accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior, that they would have their sins forgiven and they would be ready for eternity. They actually knew all of that. But they just never accepted. And the danger did come. And they have left this life. And they've went out into eternity. Not prepared. Every time you see an ant, I want each one to remember, the ant doesn't have a teacher, doesn't have an overseer, doesn't have a guide, doesn't have a ruler, but the ant knows the winter's coming and the ant makes preparation. The ant just goes out and collects and receives what God has provided. Now, every single person in this meeting, if you forget anything else that we said, just remember, we are leaving this world and we are going to the next world. And you need to be prepared. God has provided salvation through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you accept him as your Savior, if you accept that on the cross of Calvary he suffered for sin, and it wasn't his sin, it was the sin of the world. If you accept him as your Savior, the one who died for you, you can have your sins forgiven and you can be saved tonight and you can be prepared. See you boys and girls, see you older people, why are you going home tonight? Why would anybody go home tonight not prepared? I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Everybody could leave this hall tonight and go home knowing that they are prepared, if they would accept what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them at Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ has went to the cross. For God so loved the world, every single person in this meeting is included in that, that whosoever believeth in him, every single person in this meeting is included in that. You can be saved tonight. You can be prepared tonight. I hope you think about the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you think again, just for a moment, on what he's done, who he's done it for. Now, don't be overcomplicating it. Don't be thinking any more than that. That whosoever believeth in him, just accept it. Just a confidence in what God said has been done. And just sitting on the seat right now, you can be saved. You can be prepared for heaven. Shall we pray? Our Father, we come before Thee and thank Thee for these wonderful pictures in Thy Word of even this small animal in nature that speaks to us, our Father, about eternal realities. And our Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast provided salvation for us through the person of Thy Son. We thank Thee that Thou hast given Him into this world to go to the cross and to pay the price of sin, sin that He never committed, sin that He never had. We thank Thee, Father, for one who was holy, for one who was spotless, for one who was able to pay the price. But our Father, we thank Thee too for one who was willing to pay the price. And we thank Thee, Father, for all that was accomplished at Calvary. And so we pray for each boy and girl and each older person tonight in this meeting, for each one listening online, we look to Thee, our Father, that someone tonight might make preparation, that they might accept Thy Son, that they might have their sins forgiven, that they might be saved and ready for heaven when life here is finished. We bring this before Thee. We thank Thee, Father, for this possibility. We ask for Thy blessing in the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Could we sing one verse, please, of a hymn, and then our meeting is over, and I'm sorry for going over the time. Number 374. Number 374. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed. Be in time. Can we sing verse 3 and the chorus standing, please, and then our meeting is over.
And his dying swiftly by, death and judgment rolling on the night, who in the arms of Jesus Christ be in time.
Thank you.